Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research as always. Hope you guys are having a fantastic week so far. Lots of articles today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing great. The weather down here is a little bit dreary. They sprayed us so heavy with chemtrails today and yesterday, I'm surprised it's not dripping, you know, straight aluminum sap out of the sky. I mean, now it's not even, it's supposed to be raining today, and it hasn't rained all day, so I guess they decided to stop the rains. Who knows? First story here. This is interesting out of Canada. It says Prime Minister Justin Trudeau makes Canada bow down to the lesbian, gay, bi, transgender, queer population movement. Begs for their forgiveness. Unbelievable. Justin Trudeau, who's an unbelievable globalist, by the way, I think he's a little bit funny too, promised an apology a year ago to this group. Now they're releasing a report that by the 28th of this month, they will be giving a detailed apology to the gay and lesbian community in Canada. And then Romans 1:26-27, remember what it says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women to engage to change the natural use of which against the nature, and likewise also men, leaving the natural use of women burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Editor's note, this is from an article out of the NowTheEndBegins.com. It says, what we are looking at happening in Canada right now is exactly what you would have seen happening in the United States had Crooked Hillary, the incredible witch of Benghazi, won the election and been able to continue Barack Obama's gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual legacy of destroying America. Canada is also paying reparations for the settlement to the gay mafia. Trudeau is following what Pope Francis has been advocating for quite some time now. Amazing how less than 3% of the global population can exert such power. According to Canada's Globe and Mail, the apology is expected to be the most comprehensive ever offered by any national government for past persecution of sexual minorities. I don't know when a perversion became a sexual minority. The apology is expected to focus on Canadians who were criminally charged or lost their jobs due to their sexual orientation. From all the way back to 1950, the Canadian government carried out what critics call a purge, in which officials identified government employees they suspected were gay and forced the employees to go through humiliating tests, including one called the Fruit Machine, and interrogations that ultimately kicked allegedly gay officials out of their jobs, the Canadian press reported. Guys, here's the thing. Now, I'm going to say something very quickly that's probably going to surprise a lot of you. I'm going to say it anyhow because what difference does it make? I've already said it all on this show anyhow. I feel sorry for these guys that were sexually changed or chemically castrated in their mother's belly when they were being formed in the womb through the use of exogenous estrogens, which changed them forever to become more feminine. I feel sorry for the guys who were raised on soy formula and the same thing happened to them, because the globalists, this has been their intent the entire time. But what I will say is this. This lifestyle is always a choice. And these guys have made the choice. And in their own bodies and in the diseases and the AIDS and all the other things, they have to deal with their consequences. Now, as far as if I was a gay guy, which I am not, obviously, I would be unbelievably angry at the globalists for putting all of this estrogen into the food supply. And my anger wouldn't be pointed at the individuals that don't approve of their lifestyle, but rather at the organizations and groups of people and corporations that have intentionally committed eugenics on the population by creating a large portion of gay people in the population by intentionally chemically castrating them through utero and through the nursing process. That's who my anger would be at. And so it saddens me that when you actually have a situation in which people don't approve of your sexual orientation, that is considered a hate crime. It'd be interesting like this. If in Canada now we know that bestiality is also legal, which is what Kennedy, the Witch of Benghazi was trying to do in this country, along with bestiality and along with pedophilia. She's trying to make all that legal in the United States because, of course, these globalists are actively involved in those types of lifestyles. And it saddens me, Austin, that if somebody likes to have sex with an animal and we think they're a pervert, they can charge us with a hate crime in Canada because we think they're a pervert because they like to have sex with animals, which is completely and totally forbidden by the Old Testament in Deuteronomy and in Leviticus. And the sad part about this is that they no longer want to call a sin or deviant lifestyle choice, a perversion, but rather they want to call it a choice. Well, guys, if you choose to do really sick stuff, that's your choice. And as a libertarian, I don't care what you do. Just keep me and my family away from it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it in public, and I don't want to know about it, and I don't want to hear about it. I don't approve of it. I don't like it. But I'm not going to put you in jail, and I'm not going to tell you basically how repugnant your behavior is to me unless I have to deal with it personally. Then I will tell you that to your face. The sad part about it is, Austin, is that they don't care about that. They're blatant in people's faces. They're blatantly doing things to provoke a reaction, and they're blatantly trying to force everybody to accept their sexual deviation as normal. Human beings aren't designed to have sex with animals, newsflash, simply because you can't mate those two species and create another human hybrid. Can't do that. So it's not designed by God to do that, nor are they to have afflictions or affections one for another of the same sex. It doesn't work that way. It wasn't Adam and Steve in the garden. It was, it was Adam and Eve. I mean, we got to get this part right. But when a big percentage of the global elite that we call elite, who are actually running over us, including the royal family, have their weird gay fetishes and the things that they do with children and all the other human sacrifice stuff they do, which is some real sick stuff, they want everybody to accept this as normal. And the more they push it in the media, and the more they tell us that it's normal, and the more when corporations or countries like Canada come in and say, we want you all to forgive us because of what we've done to you guys for the last 40 or 50 years, because now we accept your deviant sexual behavior as normal, it allows these people then to be vindicated and allows them to continue to push their agenda and try to erase the social stigma with this agenda, which allows other people that are borderline on the fence of thinking about these types of lifestyles to go out and embrace the lifestyle now because there's no longer a social stigma attached to it. That's the problem with all of this. It's going to massively increase the numbers, as was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're going to have a continued group of people that are going to be militant about this until they can force the bulk of the population to think that this type of behavior is okay and accepted and not have anything negative to say about it. That's my problem with all of this, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're 100% right about it, and that's what they've slowly done. I've brought this up so many times on the show, especially with the mainstream media and Hollywood, is they've slowly conditioned the American population to accept a lot of this behavior, and it's slowly gotten worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Now Canada is issuing this national formal apology for basically discriminating against somebody that was involved in this type of behavior all the way back since 1950. That doesn't even make sense to me. I mean, you want to look like the total biggest loser pansy on the planet, issue a formal statement like that back from 1950. Here's my thing. If a private business, if a company, if any type of government entity says, we don't feel that your sexual orientation, what you prefer, what you engage in, what you're blatantly open about, meshes with our values here at this company, or we don't feel like you can adequately do your job 100% because of your sexual orientation, we have the right to not hire you, or we have the right to fire you. Florida is a right-to-work state. That's the thing about it down here. You don't have that option. As far as now with the sexual orientation, they've pushed it so far in the workforce now that pretty much any state, if you fire somebody for being a transgender or for being gay or for blatantly, openly displaying their sexual deviant behavior, now they can pretty much sue you for it, which is absolutely ridiculous in my opinion. But this is what they have done up in Canada. So it's quite sad to see that they're taking it one step further now and actually groveling and issuing a formal apology about this, Dad.
Crazy. Oh, by the way, another article just came out. It says, stop shaming your overweight kids. Pediatricians are urging parents in a major new report. This is that shaming kids does not lead to weight loss, and yet experts say scores of parents and physicians struggle with that concept. The American Academy of Pediatricians and the Obesity Society, now there's an Obesity Society, have issued a call to action against fat shaming, now it's called fat shaming, of children in a new policy statement. Now, I'm going to make a comment about this one, too. You really can't shame a fat kid into eating right. There's no way. That's impossible. Now, the fat kid can decide that he wants to not be fat anymore, and if you will educate that kid and teach him to stay off of bread and pasta and rice and high fructose corn syrup and sodas, teach him how to work out, teach him how to get in shape, he'll do so. But talking to children about obesity should start with talking to their parents about obesity, and here's why.
Yep.
A 5 or 6 year old child does not go to the grocery store and buy a bunch of junk food and bring it home and eat it. The parents are bringing this to the child to eat. So rather than shaming the kid because he's eating the food you're buying for him, why don't you stop buying the food that's making that child obese? Newsflash.
There you go.
Remember years ago, we had a friend of ours, and the husband was very overweight. The wife was overweight. As a matter of fact, the husband had to go, and finally, eventually had to go and had to do gastric bypass surgery. And they had an 8-year-old daughter who was probably 30 pounds overweight. And I asked the mother and the father, I said, do you mind if I speak to her? Well, they had a vending business in which they sold candy and candy supplies and snacks, etc. And so their entire house was filled with products that contained high fructose corn syrup and junk food. And they didn't even lock up the cabinets that contained all of this stuff. And they allowed their children to have full access to this product. Hence, when she's 8 years old, she's 30 pounds overweight. And I sat and I talked to her for about 10 or 15 minutes. I tried explaining to her about eating right and eating clean and all that. Didn't make any difference because the parents didn't eat right. The parents didn't eat clean, and they had all of this junk in their house. Well, by the time she's 18, 19, 20 years old, she was 300, 350, whatever, maybe 400 pounds, I don't know. And finally, she ended up marrying a Muslim guy because she was desperate to get married. And then, of course, that went badly. All he wanted to have her as a wife to become a citizen. And then she went on some massive weight loss binge, and I have no idea how she did it. And she lost probably 3/4 of her body weight and probably down to 100 pounds. And the sad part about it is I saw it all coming in slow motion, but the parents simply would not listen. They have another daughter. She's also clinically obese. And this is like father like daughter, like mother like daughter, like father like son. If you have overweight parents, there's a much higher probability you're going to have overweight kids. So, guys, listen to me for a second. I'm not picking on you. All I'm saying is this. Shaming a kid because they're overweight, because they're eating the food that you're giving them, isn't effective. Get them off the bread. Get them off the pasta. Get them off the rice. Get them off the sodas. Stop buying that stuff. Get them off the peanut butter. Get them off the nut butters. Get them off all that stuff. Get them grilled chicken and fish and vegetables. And a 7 or 8 year old who's overweight, if that's all they have to eat, they're not going to starve. That's what they will eat. And if they stop eating and they start losing weight, they'll leave just sooner or later after a couple of weeks, they'll start eating again. Anyhow, they're not going to starve to death. They've got plenty of fat to live on for a few weeks. So, guys, it's not any good shaming these kids. It's absolutely awful. All it does is affects their self-esteem, in some cases for the rest of their lives. Try to work with them and try to set the example for them at home. What do you think, Austin?
That was incredibly well said. You're 100% right, and that's what I've talked so many times, too. We've discussed it with customers and stuff over the phone and via emails, and sitting there and making fun of somebody or giving them a hard time about it doesn't fix the problem. Showing them the tools on how to fix the problem is what fixes it, and that's changing your diet, changing your lifestyle, changing what type of junk food that you do or do not bring into the house, and keeping that garbage essentially out of your pantry. That's the most effective thing to do. Now, the most frustrating part is when you talk to people about that or parents about that, and they think that there's nothing wrong with it. Oh, well, my kid's fine. They're 8 years old and they're 250 pounds. They're just a little stocky. You know, you go, I don't know about a little stocky, bud. Maybe you should really reevaluate this. And then they just want to argue with you. And at that point, there's not much you can do about it anyways. But yes, giving somebody the information, that's what we do. And that's why, I mean, we came out with another new cookbook a couple weeks ago, the Eat Clean and Be Healthy. The whole aspect of that is giving people new recipes, new foods, new things to try that really taste good, that are very effective at eating a clean, lean diet on a regular basis and integrating those into it, and at the same time being a moderately healthy budget as well. So, I mean, there's not a bunch of crazy expensive foods in there that are going to cost you a ton of money, but they're very, very clean, and we've done an incredibly good job at that. Sharon's done a great job at bringing in some really good foods there. So that's a great option for guys, for everybody, for Christmas. If somebody's got an issue with weight or their kids are overweight and they're actively looking at trying to make a difference, throwing that in there, or even maybe even getting the Maximum Fat Loss Workbook, those two together is a really great option. Now, I got to discuss something today as far as with Google and Twitter and all this stuff that these guys are doing now. We've discussed in detail about how the mainstream media and especially Google and Twitter and a lot of these social media accounts are completely out of control with trying to stop the alternative media from spreading. And that's why they label everything with fake news. That's why they've turned around and completely condemned Russia for the last year about the election. All they do is bring up false rhetoric to try to blame so they can use an excuse to bring in a tyrannical government control even further on our media and internet. Well, the executive chairman of Alphabet, which is the parent company of Google, it's the company that owns Google, has now said the search engine giant Google will now make articles from Russia-funded news sites extremely difficult to find on its platform. He said, we are working on detecting and deranking those kinds of sites. It's basically RT and Sputnik, which is Russia Today. He said, we are well aware of it, and we are trying to engineer the systems to prevent that the sites be exposed to larger audiences. He said, since the U.S. officials have blamed RT and Sputnik for having a role in Hillary Clinton's loss to Donald Trump in 2016, the news sites have faced opposition. In October, Twitter said it will ban advertisements from both sites, and last week, both sites were required to register as foreign agents in the United States. That talked about this in detail. Now, what's also crazy is this just came out this weekend. Twitter now is essentially abandoning its free speech policies. It announced on Friday that it will now be monitoring users' behaviors on and off platform in conjunction with Google, and will suspend a user's account if they affiliate with organizations that are categorized as hateful or violent groups. The problem is there are no legitimate guidelines on what constitutes as a hateful or violent group. And what they mean by on and off platform. On platform with Twitter would mean while you're on Twitter's platform, you're tweeting something out. Off platform would be while you're going to Facebook or using Google to search something and going back to Twitter. They are going to start monitoring all of it and colluding with Google to see your search history, your keystrokes, what you look up before and after you make posts on Twitter. And if they deem that you are searching something that they don't agree with, whether it be violent rhetoric or something hateful, they will actually either first shut down your account and suspend you, and if you further do so and they find you to be in violation of their new guidelines, they will ban you from Twitter. They're giving users until December 18, 2017. That is when enforcement will begin. They also said it applies to using hateful images or symbols and profile images or profile headers. Twitter will also monitor for hate speech in users' names, display names, and profile bios. Twitter's also said for the first time that if broken, it result in accounts losing their verification. Apparently, when you have a high-ranked Twitter feed, you're verified by Twitter. They also said on here in detail, promoting hate or violence against or directing, attacking, or threatening other people based on their race, ethnicity, national origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, religious affirmation, age, disability, or disease, supporting organizations or individuals that promote the above will result in suspension of your Twitter account. This is what they're doing, guys. They're completely controlling the narrative of what people are using social media platforms for. Now, this is something that I talked about Dad with last week, and I hadn't brought this up yet, and I did this numerous times on multiple different computers because I wanted to make sure it was accurate, because a lot of people still have their head in the sand in believing that Google actually gives you real, true search engines. People think Google essentially, because they claim to be the leader in search engines in the world with the best analytics, the most accurate search results. I saw this on a website and I took it even further and I wanted to do an experiment. Now, before I go into this, I want to make sure I am not using this whatsoever to incite any type of racial aggression, period. I'm using this as a clear example to show you Google does not care one single bit about accuracy. The only thing it serves to do is promote the globalist agenda and completely changing the world and bringing it under a new world order. The first thing we did on here was Google the term white couple, just to see what would happen. So you could do that. Anybody can do it right now. So you Google the term white couple. That's pretty simple. The word white, the word couple. Doesn't really get anything further than that. Immediately, all it brings up is either black or Middle Eastern men with all white women. Almost every single photo is either Middle Eastern men with white women and black men with white women. Quite frankly, if that's who you're dating or that's who you're married to, I don't have a bit of problem with it. But if you're looking up the term white couple, why in the world is that the only thing that shows up on Google? So I went, okay, maybe that was just too broad. That was a little weird, too broad. Let's make it real simple. White man and white woman. Very simple, very specific. Brings up the same exact photos of black or Middle Eastern men with almost all white women, almost every single photo again. I'm boggled at this point. I'm doing it. I'm looking at the screen going, I don't know how I can be any clearer than this. So I said, okay, well, let's take it a step further. Let's drop race out of it. And let's just do happy American couple. Boom. Again, like two photos of a white American family. Everything else is basically interracial families and actually photos of terrorists multiple times on there, which I thought was really odd. And about 90% interracial couple. So I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of odd, but that's a happy American couple. That's what Google's pulling up now. It's like, all right, let's get real specific here. Let's just do white Christians. Okay, wow. No interracial photos. Pretty accurate. Very good. There's a few photos of people going to church, photos of Donald Trump. Ah, here we go. Now they're showing white Christians with black lynchings by the KKK in detailed photos. Multiple neo-Nazi photos, also other white supremacist groups with the name white supremacist on them, a few Black Lives Matter signs pictures, and I'll also hear a picture of a survey titled, What is Wrong with White Christians? All right, so that's what I get when I type in that term. So let's do white American Christian couple. Let's just make it real detailed. All I did was add an American and couple into the last search engine. Totally changed again. Almost all black and white men with white women, completely and totally, no Christians, no churches, no KKK, nothing at all. So now I'm going, okay, what in the world is going on with this? Why in the world is Google doing this? Are these guys this inept? Are their analytics this poor, or is this really a coordinated plan? So I said, okay, maybe they don't like the definition of the word white, so let's do Caucasian American couple. Just make it as simple as possible. We'll make it detailed. Again, almost all interracial Middle Eastern and black couples with multiple gay couples. That's all. That's all it is. The entire screens that come up when you click up images for that. So I said, okay, let's be fair. Maybe we can assume that Google is totally retarded. Their analytics are completely shot out. They have zero marketing sense, and they don't understand the English language. Let's do one simple last test just to make it fair. Let's do black couple and see if it pops up the reverse way. Wow. Every single photo is a picture of a happy black couple or family, not a single white person or even an interracial picture whatsoever. You have your answer about Google. This is not an accident. This is a clear agenda against Christians and everything else accurate with Google, Dad. This is Google. This is the New World Order. This is their agenda.
Well, they track everything you do. They have a giant database. Whatever you look up with Google is going to be tracked, and they can take it right back to you. And if they want to target you and have the Gestapo show up at your house, they can. Ridiculous. Let's do another health article. Breast milk does protect babies against food allergies, especially if their mothers ate eggs, peanuts, and shellfish during pregnancy, a new study says. Boston Children's Hospital assessed breastfeeding mice and their babies. They found that those who built up their own immunity when then nursed protected their children from allergies. It's the clearest evidence that breast milk can protect from allergies for human women. So, guys, this is a pretty good article, and we've been talking about this for years and years and years. And I want to say this. This is so important. If you are not going to breastfeed, you've got to think about what you're going to feed this child. And quite frankly, there's a reason that these formulas have been linked to so many health problems in these kids and allergies. They're simply not healthy in the vast majority of the cases. I recommend the certified goat's milk. If you live in an area where you can get that, you can actually put a little bit of nutrients in it. We have that recipe at the office. We also have it up in the Train Up Your Child book in the way they should eat. And you can actually go in and get the recipe out of that book, or you can call the office. We'll be happy to email it to you and learn how to make your own milk for your own child to feed your own child to keep that child healthy. very important that you understand that you really need to stay away from formula, in particular soy milk formula. And Austin and I have done shows on this before when he first had Hunter 18 months ago, in which like the primary ingredient on a lot of these different formulas are high fructose corn syrup solids.
Yep.
I mean, unbelievable.
Yep.
I mean, how in the world? This is all GMO. It's all GMO spray with glyphosate. And you wonder why so many kids are so sick. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, yeah. I did a detailed show on this about 2 years ago because I couldn't, you know, I was planning on breastfeeding as far as, well, Lana was present planning on breastfeeding. I personally was not going to be doing so. So she was planning on doing that. And then we also knew if that dried up or if we, you know, wanted to switch over, we'd switch over to a local goat's milk source that we have locally. So I started looking, though, at local formulas, any store-bought formulas, online, on the shelves. We even did a few things. I got free samples in the mail just because I wanted to see what they were. And almost every single one, without fail, had high fructose corn syrup or corn syrup solids as like the second or third ingredient in this.
That's right.
And I remember I showed it to Dad, and he goes, yeah, that's what they do. And I said, how are you going to legitimately feed an infant, a little baby, a little child that needs all these nutrients, and the second and third ingredient in the formula you're giving them is corn syrup solids, which, again, as you guys know, and we've talked about so many times, anything that they use, high fructose corn syrup or corn syrup solids, is 99.9999% of the time derived from GMO corn. Every single time. I have yet to this day to be able to find research of somebody who makes organic, non-GMO, high fructose corn syrup. Have not found it. And if you guys find it, if you guys know a manufacturer that legitimately manufactures organic certified non-GMO high fructose corn syrup, please email it to me because I would love to look at it. I'm really curious. I would love to be able to say, wow, I found that 0.01% needle in the haystack because I haven't been able to find it because, in my opinion, it doesn't exist. This is what they want to feed these kids. There are so many better other options in making formula besides using corn syrup solids. It's a joke. That's something I wouldn't even feed to my dogs at the house. They eat better than that. So when people are feeding their kids this, I always try and bring it up to them. But the problem is they're like, oh, no, my pediatrician, this is the certified formula that they recommend. And I go, of course it does. They also recommend them to get 20-something vaccines by the time they're 2 years old, too, don't they? And that's just where we're at with it. But it's very sad. There's very good options with the goat's milk. As Dad said, we have the train up your children the way they should eat. Full documentation there of what you can do with the goat's milk formula if you have to go that route. Also, two other tragic news. Janine Beck, founder of nonprofit Unlocking Autism, has now been found dead in a canal. She was a well-known autism advocate. She was found dead last week on November 17th outside her Oregon hotel room. Beck was traveling with her autistic son. Basically, police said she went outside to have a cigarette and never came back. The son reported, called the police the next morning and said they basically don't know where she went. She's not here. The police found her body in a canal behind the Roadway Inn where she was staying. They have said now the cause of death is still undetermined. Janine basically had been working for years proving that vaccines were directly, that autism was directly tied to vaccines. She was doing a ton of different research under her nonprofit Unlocking Autism and was linking all this stuff from the vaccines to the aluminum in it to the adjuvants to the GMOs, all this stuff, really good research, and now she has been found dead in the canal behind the hotel she was staying at. This isn't coincidence, guys. This is what the 79th natural practitioner or natural person that's been looking into autism that's been found dead of unnatural causes or very strange causes in the past 2 years, 79 in 2 years, and they're all working on the exact same stuff or similar topics. This isn't coincidence, guys. They're doing everything they can to try to shut this down. They do not want the real, true news of the lies and deception that they have put on the American population with the vaccines. If the American population ever found out the truth, I mean the real truth, it got exposed on mainstream media with full research and documentation showing that these vaccines are directly linked to autism, there would be an uprising in this country unlike one we'd ever seen, because the level of social media and the population density that we have in this country now, that's why they do not want these natural practitioners years talking about autism. This is why I tell everybody, if you're involved in natural health, if you're involved in helping people, quite frankly, if you're just an American Christian patriot and you feel the need to do so, you need to be armed on a regular basis and be ready for any situation that should come to that. I always talk about this for a very specific reason, because I have seen these situations happen so fast, and a lot of times a single handgun with a good law-abiding citizen that knows how to shoot accurately can usually stop, prevent, or at least alter the course of what may happen in some of these situations. That's why I'm such a big proponent of concealed carry, Dad.
I agree with you, Austin. And remember, you got to remember too, this is one of the reasons that Twitter and Google are now censoring everything. Because yep. If a national news story did break, if someone did do full coverage on autism, if someone did do something that they weren't supposed to do, they would simply not allow it to be found in the search engines.
Yep.
They would not allow it to be tweeted out. They would stop it.
See,
this
yep.
is what they have to get social media under control like they have in China. That's the model they're following. They have to get social media under control. Otherwise, people start talking about things they're not supposed to talk about. You're not supposed to talk about autism or GCMF or macrophage activation molecules. You're not supposed to be talking about any of this. You're not supposed to be talking about how vitamin D3 does a lot for the immune system. You're not supposed to be talking about how the MIT researcher that I read last week says that by 2025, 50% of the children will have autism, and by 2035, all boys, and by 2037, all girls will have autism if the current trend does not change. This is what they don't want you to talk about. And now she was linking it back to glyphosate. I believe it's a overall problem involving glyphosate, immunizations, chemtrails, heavy metal toxicity, and a plethora of other drugs that are being used on the population. I believe all of this, including epigenetics, is tied in, and all of it's being done like the Jason Committee wanted back in the 50s to reduce the population of the planet. Guys, if you have one autistic child, chances are you're not going to get pregnant again because you don't want to have to deal with that twice. If you have two autistic children, I can pretty much guarantee you don't want to get pregnant again. And if you have autistic children and they are full-blown have autism, they're not going to reproduce. They're not going to have children on their own. And so you start halving the population over and over and over again until you're able to bring in as many alternative people coming into your country and immigrants to overtake the indigenous population until you can get your mestizo group of people and create your new world, one world order. Ugh, awful. By the way, half of America's cancer deaths are now being shown to be driven by bad habits like eating processed meat containing sodium nitrite, which reacts with stomach acid to form nitrosamines, which are one of the most effective agents known for reducing malignant intestinal tumors. Also smoking, excess body weight, but some are worse for men than for women, especially the alcohol. This is so true that alcohol is much, much worse for women than it is for men. Data crunched by the American Cancer Society now shows the risk of cancer and avoidable lifestyle factors. At least 42% of cancer cases and 45% of cancer deaths are driven by these factors. They showed cigarette smoking, alcohol consumption, and excessive body weight are the riskiest, but men and women have different concerns. Men have a higher cancer rate from red meat, processed meat, alcohol, and cigarettes than women. Women, however, have a higher liver failure rate from alcohol. Women also have a higher cancer rate from excess body weight and a lack of exercise. So guys, it's so important that you change your lifestyles, habits. You do your best to stop cigarette smoking, avoid secondhand smoke, get rid of excessive body weight, avoid alcohol intake, reduce the amount of red meat and processed meat, particularly bacon, and also don't eat pork. Increase your consumption of fruits and vegetables, increase dietary fiber, and increase physical activity and get more sunlight. Very, 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 very important that everybody does this on a regular basis, and you'll be a whole lot healthier for it. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, the D3 is so important, and from the pregnancy to the natural health aspects to it, of what it does with the immune system, to keeping you healthy all the time. It's just so important. I mean, that's why one of the main things that when Lana's pregnant, when the midwives are monitoring her, one of the main things they check all the time with blood work is her D3 levels on a regular basis. They're always checking her D3 levels because it's such an important factor in pregnancy and such an important factor in the immune system. So it's really something that you guys aren't taking it, you really need to do so. A buddy of mine that I know, he got his blood work done a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to him. He's been real big into bodybuilding for a while, and his blood work actually came back fairly well, which I was surprised, except for his D3. His D3 was at like 22, super low. And I told him, you got to get on like at least 10 to 20,000 IUs of D3 every single day right now for a while until you get blood work checked. I said, you can even run it higher if you want to do that. I said, but being in the 20s at your body weight is not good when you're carrying that much muscle tissue. And the thing is, a lot of people are very low in D3, and that's what's so stupid about the FDA guidelines and the stuff they've changed now. Now they've changed it from 800 IUs daily to 400 IUs is now the recommended dosage of D3. And it's so stupid because not only does this society now get much less sunlight than we used to because of the indoor aspects, between the robotics, between all the stuff we have now, we're not out in the sun near as much as we used to be, not even including the people that live up north that are in that, you know, muggy, you know, overcast area all the time. The D3 levels is slowly decreasing. They've even talked about that numerous times now in research studies, that the level of vitamin D that, like, a huge percentage of the American population is low, like clinically low in vitamin D, yet at the same time the FDA comes in and says, well, the guidelines are changing from 800 to 400 IUs a day.
That's right.
That's all you need. Okay, so we have the biggest D3 deficit in recent history with the United States population as far as our blood work, and at the same time the FDA is going to go, we're going to drop the guidelines on it. Guys, this isn't an accident. Just like the same way they dropped the acceptable rate of what your blood pressure should be now, and they're putting 30% of Americans now on top of what are already listed in the high blood pressure category so they can peddle more high blood pressure drugs. The same way 3 years ago the AMA came in and said the cholesterol is going to drop even lower of the acceptable rate because everybody needs to make sure they're on a statin. Even if they have regular cholesterol, you need to be on a statin because one day you could have high cholesterol, and it's good if you're already on the statin. This is a concerted effort by the globalists and the pharmaceutical companies together to completely ruin and trash the body's immune system. They know that when people start having D3 levels under 30 on their blood levels, that all kinds of disease rates increase, including cancer. They know that the immune system cannot handle heavy onslaughts of toxins exposure. They understand how important D3 is. This is why they lowered the recommended guidelines. It was not to prevent people from having excess unhealthy levels of D3 in the body. I have yet to ever see somebody get toxic levels of D3, even at insanely high levels of D3 every single day for months on end. The highest I think I've ever seen them get up to was like 70 or 80, and at that point you drop your D3 dosage back down to where it needs to be, and your levels taper back off very rapidly. So this whole nonsense about what they're talking about, again, it's just more lies to completely compromise the immune systems of the American population and the global population, Deb.
Well, if they release a biological on people, they don't want D3 stopping the biological from being effective.
There you go. Yep.
In other words, if they introduce the plague into the air or Ebola into the air, chances are if your D3 levels are higher, you'll have a higher chance of survivability. They don't want that. They have to reduce the D3 levels. D3, the lack of D3 on the macrophages is what's in the lack of, well, what happens is with the GCM, what happens with Nagalase strips the macrophage of its two little bonds at the bottom, which allow the D3 to attach to the macrophage as part of the immune system, white blood cell count. That's how it goes around eating up stuff and killing stuff in the immune system. When you don't have, they're like the keys that turn on the macrophage. And when you take these sugar molecules and you strip them off with Nagalase, then what happens is they can't get vitamin D3 to attach to them. That's why that GCMF molecule, which is the activated macrophage molecule that's being injected, was actually reversing the cases of autism pretty substantially, according to some of the, from Dr. Bradstreet and Gonzalez. I did a whole show on that if you want to get that in detail. But the reality is this. Vitamin D is absolutely essential. We've got chemtrails that are stopping us from producing vitamin D from our skin naturally. We've got the FDA now lowering to half of what is already too low to start with. And we have massive deficiencies in vitamin D all over the world right now, which will automatically impair immune systems. I take D3 all the time. And by the way, vitamin D could even prevent rheumatoid arthritis. But higher doses may actually be required if people already have rheumatoid arthritis, but the new study just came out. It says vitamin D strengthens the immune systems and dampens down inflammation. Rheumatoid arthritis is an autoimmune condition that causes joint swelling. The condition reduces a sufferer's vitamin D sensitivity, requiring higher doses. Affected joints are committed to inflammation and less likely to change. Experts hope to overcome vitamin D insensitivity in arthritic patients. But guys, now they're telling us that we need less and less and less of vitamin D. And quite frankly, it needs to be on a routine blood test. They need to test for your vitamin D3. And they don't do it, Austin. You have to ask for a D3 test. It's really kind of crazy. What's your next story?
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. Well, also, it's another story in Sweden, because these guys are just plagued now with absolute nonsense. A masked man carrying a sword went into a school in Sweden now and killed a pupil and a teacher, and also injured two other victims, another pupil and a teacher. The attacker was shot by police and has died of his injuries now. He was apparently 21 and a resident in Trollhättan. The other two individuals who were injured was a 15-year-old student and a teacher who was 41. They're being treated in intensive care for knife injuries. Their condition is described as serious but stable by the hospital. Police said several knives were used in the attack. They said he appears to be wearing, he was wearing a trench coat with a black face mask and a helmet. And now, of course, they're going on there and they're saying, well, we're not sure as far as his basis or what his motive was on this. So we're not, you know, completely sure about it. Well, we'll keep you guys posted. Of course, they're not going to call any out about Muslims or any nonsense, even though almost every time we see somebody run through with a knife, butcher knife, all this stuff, it's usually a Muslim, sad as that is. But that's another incident in Sweden. Again, it seems to be occurring almost on a daily basis. There is either some type of multiple person knifing, some bombing, or some type of mass rioting in Sweden almost on a daily basis now, Dad.
You know, it's just unbelievable, Austin. In fact, this is happening all over the world as far as this violence. I mean, teachers right now in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania are resigning due to student violence. They're saying they've had enough of being hit and beaten by the kids. I mean, 45 teachers have resigned since July and October. Associate President John Barksell says more have resigned since then. I mean, one teacher was actually attacked by her first graders. I mean, are you kidding me? How do first graders know to attack people? They're learning this nonsense from their parents. And guys, this is a bad, bad indication of what's going on in this country. It really, really is. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely not a good direction at all that it's going. And I mean, the sad part is, you know, a lot of people say, well, we blame the movies and this and that. And there's maybe some part of it. You know, some of the violent stuff that's on television now has gotten much more aggressive. But on the other hand of it, too, it's this entitled generation, this younger generation now, that it's like they feel like they're literally entitled to do anything and everything they want as soon as they feel like doing so, and there's not going to be any ramifications about it. If they get mad and want to take a butcher knife and go stab multiple people in a school, they honestly feel entitled that they have the ability to do so. And it's a very bizarre behavior. And then when we see these Muslims over in Europe, like over in France, now I talked about yesterday with Krona Post, a French mail courier, is now refusing to deliver mail now in this suburb because it's gotten so violent and they're so tired of getting beat up almost every single time they go out and having all the packages stolen. There's no other option except to stop delivering mail out there. I mean, that boggled my mind yesterday when I read that they become that lawless. And, you know, I got a lot of emails of yesterday and the day before, over the weekend, about the issue that was going on in Baltimore, where they essentially issued a police martial law in that Section 8 housing area where that detective was shot point blank in the face. And you guys know my stance on the police state and the totalitarian nightmare and everything else that a lot of our countries turned into. But on the other aspect of it, you have to look at it like this, guys. If you start allowing groups and factions and suburbs and certain areas of certain parts of the country, like Chicago, Baltimore, L.A., to go into a free-for-all where individuals are so brazen in these areas that they really feel like not only can they just shoot anybody in the face, they can shoot law enforcement detectives in the face at will, and have no consequences for their actions. That's where a lot of this stuff is headed, and this is a reason why France and Europe has fallen so deeply in this hole, because they are unwilling to come in and step in with essentially, and I hate to use this term, but they almost have to, with an iron fist and completely grip up these individuals that are involved in this type of illicit behavior, especially like these Muslims that aren't even supposed to be there, and throw them out. The United States, we have due process, and a lot of these people are American citizens in these gangs. But we have a society now that's gone down so far that, I mean, Chicago, the largest homicide city like in the United States now, I mean, they're already over, what, 500 homicides this year? I mean, it's insane. And it's sad because, you know, Dad talked about it yesterday, is that a lot of this is stemming down to the lack of parenting that we have in this country, and that nobody wants to actually be a parent anymore, but they want to have kids. The same aspect of how MSNBC last week put out an article on how the population is growing and how we need to stop having kids and how it's basically bad if we have kids. And another article that I read that talked about, if you have white kids, you're basically promoting racism, which boggles my mind. I don't even know what you're supposed to do about that. I mean, you can't be mad about what you're born. You can't help what race you are you're born in. Nobody should be mad or upset about what race they are. But the issue that needs to be addressed is why we have single mothers that have 8, 10, 12 kids from all different fathers getting $750 to $1,000 a month for each child in government and state subsidies, including free housing, free food, free cell phones, free everything, literally making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year in some cases, doing absolutely nothing except reproducing more children that have no father figures, that have nobody to raise them, nobody to show them how to be a good Christian patriotic alpha male, and they get involved in these gangs because these are the gangs that will accept them. And then we see the groups that are rummaging around Chicago wreaking havoc everywhere. And it boggles my mind that nobody wants to address the social welfare system that we have created in this country now that is getting worse and worse and worse by the year with a multi-generational entitlement that we've built. But yet they want to blame everybody that has one and two kids that are being law-abiding Americans, that are trying to raise their kids in a Christian manner, that are taking their kids to church, that are paying taxes, that are trying to support and build this country back up. It's our fault that we're having kids, and we need to be ashamed of doing so. Yet at the same time, somebody can have 12 kids from 12 different individuals and get $80,000 a year in subsidies, and we need to feel sorry for them and give them more money because it's a systematic societal oppression that the reason why they're doing that and the way they're acting like that, Dad. That really bothers me, especially when I saw people getting very angry about that officer getting shot in Baltimore and basically blaming the cops for shutting down that whole subsection of the Section 8 housing, trying to find that individual. You can't just run around shooting people in the face. And you have to understand, law enforcement that deals with gangs on a regular basis 24/7 are extremely edgy, and they have to handle those groups of individuals much more aggressively and with much more tightness than they can with other people in society, because a lot of those individuals that are involved in those gangs do not know anything else other than violent behavior, either from law enforcement or from gang members. So that is the only way to keep them under control. That, as sad as that is for me to have to say, because I do not support a police state whatsoever.
Very well said, Austin. The sad part about it is, and you said it so succinctly when you said that it's the parents' fault for not teaching these kids the right way to go. I mean, you know, the Bible says very clear to us, to Christians, train up your children in the way you should go. All Hispanic families, all black families, all white families, all Russian families, all German families, all English families, all Chinese and Japan families, or whatever you are, it doesn't make any difference what color you are, you need to be teaching your kids how to live right. Period. I mean, I don't care who you are, you need to teach your kids how to live right. And you think, well, I don't want to do that. Well, then don't have kids. Don't have kids. If you don't want to teach them how to live right, if you don't want to teach them how to act right, don't have kids. I mean, quite frankly, when the kids turn into teenagers, most of the time they're a nightmare anyhow as it is, and they're trying to find their own identity socially, and they're going to gravitate towards groups they can identify with, and in some cases it's bad people. And that's why you got to be careful. You always have to remember, tell your children not to associate with the lowest common denominator. And what does that mean? Don't try to find the lowest scummy person you can find and become friends with them. Don't do that. Gravitate up. Go to find people that are going to be encouraging you and telling you to stay in school, telling you to make good grades, telling you to listen to your parents, being in church with you on Sunday, singing worship and praise music, not avoiding rap music. Avoid all of the people that drag you into a ditch and try to tell your kids that. It's really important because remember, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. The Bible says it very succinctly. Bad company corrupts good character, period. That's how it does it. So you have to understand that people need to know that they have to start making choices and changes for their children at a very, very young age if they see those kids hanging out with the wrong kids. Very, very important. By the way, I want to cover this story. It's just kind of a weird story, but Florida man is accused of drowning a raccoon. James Miller says the animals got into his chicken house and killed his chickens. Then they got into his house and they damaged his house. While he caught the thing in a cage, didn't know what to do with it. So he took it out in the lake, and he lowered it into the water in the cage and let it sit under the water for 2 or 3 minutes, and of course it drowned. And of course one of the neighbors saw it, pitched an unbelievably fit, and called animal control on him and called the police department up on him. Now he's been arrested for cruelty to animals. Now, I don't know what to say about this, okay, because here's the thing. I had chickens here for years, and about 8 or 9 months ago, I'm pretty much guaranteed it was a raccoon, got into the chicken coop because my daughter forgot to close the door at night and killed like 7 out of 9 of the chickens. I mean, just butchered them, tore them to pieces, didn't eat them, just killed them for sport and left them laying there dead. And if I had seen that raccoon or whatever it was get into that chicken coop with my gun, I would have shot the doggone thing because I've been protecting my chickens. Well, the guy ends up catching this thing that kills his chickens, and he kills the raccoon, but he didn't kill it the way they said that it was politically correct to kill the raccoon. So email me. Email Austin. Tell us what you think about this. Tell us if you think this guy should have been arrested for killing a raccoon that had gotten to his house, tore up his house, and killed a bunch of his livestock. I don't know what to say about this. I know coyotes are real bad up in North Carolina, and they have like an open shooting policy on coyotes because they kill baby calves. And I know that wild boar have open no season on them down here. Wild pigs, feral pigs that are running all over the place, Central Florida, uprooting things and killing things. I mean, where do you draw the line between abuse and where do you draw the line upon what do you do with an animal that you know has gone in and killed your livestock? Send us some emails. Let us know. What do you think about that, Austin?
Yeah, it is, because there's one of those aspects to it where it's like, you know, how far do you let stuff go with the, you know, where you just, okay, well, we can't shoot this animal, we can't shoot that animal. That's crazy to me. And I mean, the thing about it is there's, unless, you know, he was found to be doing something like sadistically cruel. I mean, but it quite frankly, to me, it's, you know, it's a raccoon. Like, it's just like, okay, whatever. I mean, I don't know. I'm not really too, I don't have much sympathy for raccoons. A lot of them have rabies. I've shot them before anyway, so I really don't have any care in the world about what he does with it. But it's just kind of ridiculous to me that they're going after this. And this is what it goes down to, guys. It's the same aspect of the people in Florida, the people out in Texas that have gotten fined and forced to remove their gardens out of their front yards. And just aspects of like this. It's a slow encroachment on what you can and can't do, and you have to get permission, or you have to do it the right way that they tell you to do it, or else they're going to fine you or charge you or jail you or whatever the other type of aspect they want to do. It's gotten so far out of control now, and that's why we all have to start making a stand and standing up to a lot of this stuff the best that we legally can, because it's not going to get any better if we keep letting these asinine rules get put into place and then we have to follow them or else we get jailed. It's pretty ridiculous, Dad.
It is. Oh, by the way, now cancer drugs are being used to combat high blood pressure. I mean, I'm not even believing this. Cancer drugs, which are so debilitating to the immune system, are now saying they can be used to combat high blood pressure in a real advance that may save millions from heart attacks and stroke. In other words, you poison them with the cancer drugs so they die of something else before they have a heart attack or stroke. That's how I look at it. Current hypertension medications cause side effects such as constipation. Cancer drugs cut off tumors' blood supply, which reduces hypertension. A protein regulates substances that are involved in cell growth, including cancer. When the gene for this protein is altered, mice's blood pressure becomes severe. Hypertension affects about 1 in 3 in the U.S. and 1 in 4 in the U.K. And now they've lowered it so they make another 30 or 40 million people have high blood pressure. Let me tell you the other reason they're giving you high blood pressure medicine in such huge amounts. It's called impotency. One of the primary side effects of blood pressure medication is impotency. They don't want you breathing and having children. Everything that they're doing right now, look at the numbers, is for eugenics. They want to desperately drop the population of the planet. Though the Western cultures are not populating, they're not growing, they're actually going down without massive immigration, but yet they refuse to go into these other areas of the world, like China or India or Africa, that are having huge amounts of children, 100 million people being born extra on top of those who have died every year from these third world countries, but they'd rather reduce our population here, Austin, because it's easier to drug us and to do horrible things to us. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. This is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Guys, thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for getting your supplements from us. Thanks for listening every single day. Thanks for being part of our family, our Health Masters family, and part of the Brower family. You'll be getting Christmas cards here just in a few days, a few weeks. I appreciate you guys, and I love you. We pray for you all the time. Thank you for your support. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely. Yes, guys, we appreciate everything. Thank you for all the emails you send us on a regular basis. Make sure every one of you, including your family, stay frosty during this Thanksgiving week. Who knows what can go on? You never know. I always like to be ready for any situation. That's why I just give you guys that simple heads up. But we appreciate the support. Be sure to check out the Eat Clean and Be Healthy book that we released last week. Awesome book. Already getting a ton of positive feedback on the recipes on it. That's on the website at healthmasters.com. And be sure to vote for the product of the week, which is winning right now. Superfood Complete looks like it's at the top. So be sure to vote any of your other ones that you want to win on the website at healthmasters.com. And, of course, the CoQ10 will be on sale till late tonight, which is the current product of the week at over 8% off. So buy those now while they're on sale if you want to grab a couple of them. Be sure to check out any of the other kits or specials that we have consistently on sale all the time, from the 3-pack specials to the 6-pack case slot to the magnesium dead sea salts to the HGH stimulate package. All that stuff, guys, on the website at healthmasters.com. Give us a call if you need anything. 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.